Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
SEC obviously has been in the news with their spring meetings. Let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in Chris Doering. He does a great job, the former Gator wide receiver, and is now on the SEC Network. He's kind enough to join us right now. Chris, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for doing it. How you been, my friend?
I'm good, Zach. Thanks for having me on, man.
Well, let me start you off with this playoff format and the potential expansion to 16. It seems like every SEC coach and also the commissioner, when they were opening their mouths, they favored this 5-11 format. You even heard the Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, also talk about his support for it as well. Does it just feel inevitable at this point when we get to 16 and when you get to playoff expansion that that will be the format of 5-11?
I mean, it's funny how quickly things changed, because I was of the opinion, like many other people were, that, you know, to get to 16, or once we got to 16, which felt inevitable, that it would be a four-slot allocation for the Big Ten and a four-slot allocation for the SEC, and now things have shifted. And one of the things that I heard from a lot of the coaches there in Destin was that, hey, we worry about, you know, if we have the four, that's going to limit us. And the SEC's position is that, you know, we don't want to be limited. We want to be able to get where we have a season where we can get five, six, seven, eight different teams in there. You know, I think there's a lot of people that could have made the argument that all three of the 9-3 teams from the league last year deserve to be in as well. So we all have to remember this is an exercise of kind of building the plane while we're flying. We have 1 year of experience under our belts, and I think some proper tweaks are being made, and I'm excited about the future of it.
I'll tell you, I was impressed by Brett Yormark, because we talk about the system structure, and the other one, he would at least get two Big 12 schools in. If you just go to 5-11, it's not a guarantee that you'll get each and every year two Big 12 schools in. So I'm surprised how a conference like the Big 12 was also in favor of this 5-11.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? But I like the idea of putting your money where the mouth is. You know, let's see what we deserve here. Now the question will be, you know, what do some of these conferences do in terms of the number of games within their leagues? That was one of the things that I was talking to a lot of the coaches and athletic directors about. It feels inevitable, just like you said, that 5-11 is going to be the format. It feels inevitable that we're going to be looking at nine conference games within the Southeastern Conference before too long as well.
What about what Brian Kelly said about you have nine in the SEC conference games, then one up against the Big Ten, then two other outside of conference? What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the other things that we heard from the coaches, because, you know, you talk about, you know, playing nine conference games, that does give you another eight quality wins, but it also puts another eight losses to half the league, too. So I heard a number of coaches talking about having the flexibility to schedule more aggressively outside of the conference, you know, some even in favor of, you know, like what we have in basketball with the Big Ten SEC Challenge format, which I think would be cool to have. So, you know, I loved the 10-game conference schedule. It was one of the things that we learned from the 2020 COVID-affected season is that we can have some flexibility in scheduling, and there is a lot of interest between SEC fan bases to play one another more frequently, and I think that's going to be the interesting thing going forward. Is it better for the league to add that ninth game, or is it better to schedule more aggressive outside games against the rest of the Power Four?
You know, it's funny, Chris, because everyone now is talking about this playoff expansion and 16 and how it'll be formatted. I didn't even think that was the biggest issue and the biggest talking point in college football. For me, it's still this transfer portal, how you have two windows. And once again, to be clear, I'm pro player empowerment. I'm fine with the portal maybe one time, not twice. Maybe there should be some limitations. Also, I'm all good with players making money, but the calendar and also the two transfer portals, I thought were bigger issues than this expansion.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And there was nothing. Usually when we go to Destin, there's some sort of big topic that's being voted on. You know, cost of attendance was a subject a couple years ago. Alcohol sales within the stadiums was a subject a couple years ago. You know, even moving from 8 to 9 conference games, that was a subject a couple years ago. This year, it didn't really feel like there was any real headline thing. There's a lot of things that need to be tackled, but it felt like it was more listening, and the listening was from the coaches listening to Commissioner Sankey, and I think it was Commissioner Sankey listening to some of the gripes that the coaches have. And I think the biggest gripe that I heard from football coaches right now is the schedule. I really worry about the ability for coaches to keep up the pace that they're being asked to keep up and what they're having to do. It used to be June was a dead period where coaches could get away with their families and kind of refresh themselves before the season. Now it's one of the most busy times in the recruiting schedule with unofficial visits. I think you look at the transfer portal, like these coaches just want to know, you know, when can I feel good about what my team is? And if you move the transfer portal back, like some people are suggesting, now all of a sudden, you know, you're getting these players that have collected a third of their NIL. Where is that money going to come back from? So it is one of the most touchy things right now. I think you need to have one transfer portal. I think you need to have the ability to have that occur in January. But having the football transfer portal open in December and having basketball open, you know, during late March and early April in the heart of the playoff, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and in basketball, I think it's an easy fix because you have some flexibility. I guess in football, it's because you have to get it going before right after winter break when the second semester starts back up. But, you know, Dan Lanning, I talked to him. He said, we had 30 days off from winning the Big Ten and then our first playoff game. So they got to find a way to fix that schedule. And it seems like everyone has ideas, but no one actually has an answer that we can all agree on. And we know that there's no one really leading that charge right now. Chris Doering here with us. Getting to some of the teams this year, let's start with Kalen DeBoer. Year one, he missed the playoff. That obviously is not a good thing when you're the head coach of Alabama. He's got to make that playoff this year. What are your expectations for Alabama this upcoming season?
I think they're a team that takes a step forward. You know, I know they were 9-3 last year, which by Alabama standards is a failure. But you were talking about a new coach coming to a new conference, inheriting a quarterback and a new system on both sides of the ball. I think just the familiarity with what the coaching style is going to be and the schemes themselves is going to help. Still trying to figure out the quarterback situation. Three guys in contention, one a holdover from the previous staff, one that came over from Washington, and one that was signed this year at Alabama. So the coach is very well familiar with those guys now. But I think just the overall – Kalen DeBoer is a great coach, and I thought they got the right guy. Him getting a chance to get a year under his belt is going to benefit him, and it's going to benefit the players significantly as well.
And it's going to be fascinating to see how long they're going to be able to keep Keelan Russell off the field, because as we're talking about with the transfer portal, you know, you're a freshman, you walk in, you don't play, you know, in year one, you could easily go get more money and go elsewhere year number two.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we're seeing instances of Arch Manning, yep, you know, coming in, waiting a couple years and being patient there. DJ Lagway was a guy that came in, even though he got a chance to play last year. He was content to kind of back up Graham Mertz before the injury. So I do think there's this idea that you know, you want to play immediately, but I also think that you're seeing some guys, particularly at the quarterback position, that are more mature. They understand the long game and, you know, want to be in the right place in addition to getting that money. And look no further than Nico Iamaliava. I mean, this guy throws a fit, doesn't get what he wants, ends up going for less money out to UCLA and a team that has, in my opinion, much less chance to compete for a championship as well. So I think that was a line in the sand kind of moment that has caused players, particularly quarterbacks, to maybe take some pause before, you know, jumping in the portal.
There's obviously no one person in college football this year that I'm more intrigued about than Arch Manning, because the last 2 years it's been all hype. I know we saw him in small doses. We saw the wheels, all that stuff. But now he's the full-time starter. How do you think we'll be talking about Arch Manning at the end of the season?
Yeah, I'm excited about him. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I am. I want to see John Mateer come in and play in this league before we get too excited about him. You know, I want to see a number of these other quarterbacks that are kind of making their debuts. Arch Manning has been around. He's been in this offense for a couple years now. We've seen him play, albeit against maybe some of the lesser talent on the schedule last year. But I do think he's got the right pedigree. I love Sark and his offense. I love the way Sark manages the quarterback position. And let's not forget, this offense is predicated on running the football. They're going to be physical up front. They're going to run the football with a talented group of running backs, and that will help him in addition to his ability to run the football and what that can do to create some one-on-one opportunities for him. So I think Arch is going to have a great season. I'm of the opinion in the hierarchy in this league, I got Lagway at the top. I got Nussmeier right there. I think Sellers is another one. But Arch is certainly in the top five, in my opinion, in the quarterback hierarchy. And let's not forget, they have one of the more manageable schedules within this league, too, which should benefit them.
Wait, I know you just threw a few names out there. Who are your top five quarterbacks then entering this season, the SEC?
Man, I'm trying to remember exactly what I did on the SEC Network. I know I had Lagway at one. I had Nussmeier at two. I want to say I had Arch at three, Lenore Sellers at four, and I can't remember who the fifth one was at this point in time. But I think that's one of the things from year to year when we go to SEC Media Days, you're looking at kind of a waxing and waning of quarterback experience. This year, a ton of experience within this league across the board. And I think that's going to make for some really good offenses this season.
And I'll tell you, I know I just said what I said about Arch, how there's no player in college football more excited to watch week in and week out. But I look at DJ Lagway at Florida. I look at Lenore Sellers. You saw it towards the end of the season at South Carolina. I'm just curious how far they could take those two teams, you know, because both those players, if they're on, man, they are so exciting to watch.
Yeah, it was exciting to watch Lenore Sellers basically put his team on his back last year. That Clemson game, he looked like he went in the phone booth and came out with the cape on and just willed his team to victory over the Tigers. I'm close here, obviously, being in Gainesville and having a chance to be around this program. I went to a couple spring practices, including the spring game, and this looks like a different Florida Gator team. The offensive and defensive lines look different. The skill that they've added, they went out and got J. Michael Sturdivant, the receiver from UCLA. Dallas Wilson is a guy that looks the part as a true freshman. Vernell Brown, the third, is also a really talented freshman. You get Trey Wilson back and healthy this season. There's a lot, and let's not forget, they're about five deep at the running back spot too. So I think the biggest thing that Florida tried to do this year was surround DJ Lagway with the necessary supporting cast. And this is a team that has a lot of confidence after the way they finished the season last year. Lagway is the real deal, both on and off the field. Leadership-wise, he's as legit as a guy that I've been around. I think Florida has a chance to really exceed that 6.5 win total that Vegas has set for him.
I know you brought up John Mateer earlier at Oklahoma now. Venables, I know they've extended him, but what do you kind of feel like that team's going to be able to do this year? Because so far the Venables experience just has not worked out.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell, man. I believe BV is the right guy. You know, I love his fire. I love his vision for the program. But you got to be better on the line of scrimmage. The offensive line was a big problem last year. Obviously, Jackson Arnold struggled, but some of that had to do with the offensive line's inability to protect him. Some of it had to do with the unavailability of their top receivers as well. I mean, that was a mass unit at the wide receiver spot last year. So, Mateer, I love the idea of going out and not only getting the quarterback, sure, but getting the offensive coordinator there as well. We saw it at Vanderbilt, right? You go out and get Diego Pavia and the offensive coordinator, both from New Mexico State, and come in, and it allows him to play fast from the jump. From everything I've heard, Mateer not only understands this offense very well, but he's very vocal in his leadership, expecting other guys to get up to speed in a hurry. And from my understanding, he is the real deal as well when it comes to elevating the play of those other 10 players in the huddle.
Is LSU just a playoff contender this year, or are they a national championship contender in your mind?
I think they're a legit SEC championship contender, and if you're an SEC championship contender, you're a national championship contender. You kind of get the feeling that this is not that Brian Kelly's on the hot seat in any way, but I feel like there's this feeling of pent-up frustration almost from Tiger fans, like they're ready to take that next step. Getting into the playoffs is certainly one of them, but I think they are, with Garrett Nussmeier back for another year, they added some pieces at the receiver spot. Should be better. I believe in Blake Baker, their defensive coordinator. I think he'll get the guys in the right spot. And how crazy is it, like a couple years ago, we could not talk enough about Harold Perkins Jr.
Yeah.
He's actually back, and nobody's talking about him.
The key is
finding a way to use him in a position that allows him to utilize his skill set to the best of his ability. So it'll be interesting to see how they use that piece as well.
Last thing I'll ask you, just with Georgia, they've been the standard for so many years. Last year, they still win the SEC, right? Carson Beck now at Miami. You look at that football team, it kind of speaks to the sport right now where it feels as open as ever. Georgia, you know, I'm not going to say that we don't take them seriously going into this season. Obviously, they're still a very good team with Kirby Smart. But have they taken a hit a little bit, or do you look at them and say, okay, they're definitely a team that you would expect to maybe be standing there at the end of the season?
Yes and yes. I mean, they've taken a hit like everybody else has. I mean, that was Alabama's biggest problem as they kind of fell back to the rest of the pack. They no longer could stockpile all the top talent. And I felt like Georgia is one of the last teams to be affected by the transfer portal. For so long, we talked about player retention, and Kirby was as good as anybody was when it comes to keeping those players on the roster. Now you're seeing the depletion, particularly on the line of scrimmage. Last year, I thought the defensive line was more thin and vulnerable than ever before. So you're having to play some young players when injuries strike. Quarterback's a huge question mark, obviously. But I'll tell you this, man. Everybody's ready to anoint Texas as the SEC champ. They've got a Georgia problem. I mean, they're 0-2 against the Bulldogs last year. And until you can beat the champ, I don't necessarily feel good about calling anybody else the king of the SEC. So there are questions. I do think it's going to be difficult for all the teams in this league to finish with double-digit wins. But I believe in Kirby. I talked to him a ton there in Destin. He was as relaxed and loose as I've seen him in a long time. Maybe that's because other people are talking about other teams outside of the Bulldogs. Maybe that's because he secretly feels really good about his team this year. But I do know I had some folks that were at practice during the spring. He demands a lot of those guys. And he does not believe in this idea of being fearful when it comes to coaching and expectation. If you're going to be on this team, you're going to be coached hard, you're going to be demanded a lot of, and you're ultimately going to get a chance to play for championships and likely get drafted highly in the NFL.
He is Chris Doering, does a great job for the SEC Network. Chris, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Chris Doering joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's take a break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.